Now, the book of Job, from which this morning's first lesson is taken, is a fascinating piece of literature. It's one of the oldest, chronologically, pieces of literature in the Bible. And the book is not so much an exploration of why bad things happen to good people as it is an exploration of why bad things have happened to Job, the righteous servant of God. Those of you who know your Bibles know that Job's friends have their theories, and Job has his theories, but underlying all of these is the idea that God is somehow doing a less than perfect job of running the world. And that if Job were God, he'd make some changes. Now, don't we all sometimes think like that? If I were God, I'd arrange things so all the bad people would be struck down in the prime of life, and all the good people would live to a healthy old age. If I were God, my team would have won the championship. If I were God, you fill in the blank. Now, as Christians, we know up here that God knows what he's doing. After all, he is God. We know also intellectually that all things work for good for those who love God, even though we might not always be able to see the good in any given situation. But I suspect that many of us, in our guts, like Job, question why God does this or allows that or doesn't do that. And that questioning is perfectly fine. So let's see where it leads. Well, suppose I was God. Suppose you were God. We would, of course, want to improve the world. But let's not forget that we would be stuck with the consequences of what we did. If, for instance, all the good people were rewarded in an earthly and immediate way, and all evil punished right away, if all the good people lived long and happy lives and all the bad people were snuffed out early, would there really be any free choice between good and evil? I suspect that if good always had an earthly reward, people would not choose good for goodness sake. They would choose the good because they got something out of it. If I were God and I made all the bullets of murderers fall to the ground before they entered the bodies of their victims, would murderers be able to choose between good and evil? If God made it impossible for any of us to commit something evil, wouldn't we all just sort of be like lobotomized puppets on a string? It never ceases to amaze me how wise and how patient God is. If we were God, we wouldn't hold back our power, confronted as we are with all the horrible evils and manifest injustices in the world. Just think what wisdom and restraint God has to stay his hand. And when God answers Job out of the whirlwind in this morning's reading, all he says is, "Were you there when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding." In other words, you can't do my job because you don't see the whole picture and you don't have my wisdom. And power without wisdom is a formula for disaster. And we're seeing that right now in Iran. Power without wisdom. Increase of power, decrease of wisdom. That seems to be the problem with the modern world. Just as we've thrown away all of our old road maps, we've learned how to soup up the car. And the solution to this power-wisdom problem begins in our own lives. And it begins with accepting God's restrictions on our power. To borrow a phrase of St. Paul, we can glory in our weakness. He, of course, was referring to Jesus on the cross. But without our weakness, without our frailties, we would be bored and dangerous and proud. Because it's only our weakness that creates drama and heroism. Only limits create adventure. You can't push things to the limit unless there's a limit. And that's why the rich and the powerful are so very often bored. Money makes us feel powerful. And power is spiritually dangerous. Because power corrupts and power makes us proud. I mean, doesn't it make you nervous to realize that when we say, if I were God, we're not saying, if I was as loving as God, if I were as compassionate as God, if I were as patient as God. No, we don't mean that. We mean if I was as powerful as God. Something to think about. Now, the reason that Job is not God and we are not God is because, among other things, we don't have God's wisdom. And because we are not wise, God can't trust us with very much power. But like Christ on the cross, we become more God-like by becoming more loving, more good, more patient, more compassionate, more weak. Remember that when Jesus calmed the raging of the sea, he did it with the words, peace, be still, and not with aggressive displays of pyrotechnic power. And only when we've begun to glory in our weakness will God make us strong. This will be perfected in heaven. But we practice here. And we practice here by remembering this. Every time that you are tempted to say, if I were God, say instead, since I'm not God. Since I'm not God. And the rest of that sentence will be much wiser, I assure you. Let us stand, and in the words of the Nicene Creed, affirm the faith that comes down to us from the apostles. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.